Blog Talk Radio.
Our roots began in Africa, where we enjoyed self-determination and freedom, which were rooted in our sovereignty. Peace, family. Welcome to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us weekly radio program that airs every Thursday evening from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Dare to Win is the place where we have sobering conversations about the economic plight of Black people and the imperative that we build the global economic machinery that will free us and once again put us on the path of making history. We, at Us Lifting Us, have developed an exact methodology on how to build this global machinery and pass it forward to our children and future generations. To join tonight's conversation, please call 929-477-2789. Press the number 1 on your phone when you want to make a comment or ask a question. If you prefer to listen on your computer, go to www.usliftingus.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, click on the Dare to Win button, then click on Listen Live. At that time, you will be on the Blog Talk Radio site. If you want to get reminders from Blog Talk Radio for upcoming Dare to Win programs, click on the Follow button. Ulu members, we have our own social media community. Join if you have not already done so. There is a Dare to Win group, and we would like to have your feedback on past Dare to Win programs, as well as topic suggestions for future programs. And please use the same name you use to join Ulu when you sign up for the Ulu community. Our 2024 Ulu Annual Convention and Members Meeting will be held in Atlanta on Saturday, March 9th and Sunday, March 10th. It will be our first face-to-face convention since 2019. Mark your calendars. More information will be forthcoming. Remember, this is for members only. So if you're not a member of ULU, it's no better time than now to sign up. I am Sister Q, and joining me for this evening's discussion is Baba Hakima, one of the founding members of ULU. Tonight's topic is Liberated Minds, Building Liberated Communities for the Liberation of Our People. Peace, Baba Hakima. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, and good to be back on the show. The music coming in, both the first piece by Dale with the ancestors, and then the regular theme music, it just reminds me that of the struggle that we're in. And what I mean by that is that a lot of times we don't acknowledge that essentially the nature of our struggle, our efforts, our challenge is the clash of civilizations. And when we talk about the ancestors and the drum and the African civilization, you know, it's a definite need, and a part of what we're feeling is African civilization and African culture coming back on the scene. So I really appreciated the theme music, and it puts you in a mood to do the work that we got to do. So thank you for that theme music. But I'm doing well. And the theme tonight, Liberated Minds, Building Liberated Communities for the Liberation of Our People. We want to talk about it, but we want to talk about it in a strategic way. But before I get into Liberated Minds and that slogan or mantra, I want to announce, not for you, but for some, because you already know about it, is that ULU is involved in a very strategic campaign or drive to build ULU chapters in multiple communities throughout America and, in fact, throughout the world. I think some of us know that the UNIA, under the leadership of Marcus Garvey, had more than 700 divisions, some of which are still alive and functioning. Mm-hmm. But other organizations and institutions have multiple chapters as well. So, you know, it's not that we haven't built structures. We have. But in ULU, we are in the throes of a campaign to build ULU chapters in local communities. We call them UBCs, ULU-based communities. In other words, ULU in the neighborhood, ULU in the local community. And it's exciting work, and it's prescriptive work, because we're going to talk a little bit about the essence of what the UBC is to do. But I want to announce that and say to brothers and sisters who are listening, we're going to invite you and encourage you ongoing to help in building these local chapters, becoming ULU members. And as ULU members, becoming active in your local chapter to do the necessary work. Maybe I'll interject this here when I say do the necessary work. There are many of us who for years have said that we have to do three kind of fundamental things. We have to fight against oppression, against domination, exploitation. So we've got to fight, because we've thrown into a situation where we have no alternative but to fight. But as we fight, we also have to heal and deal with the woundedness of our people and each of us individually. But the third thing we got to do is we got to build. And my lead in the discussion this evening is going to be around building and being very strategic about that building. So when we talk about the UBC, the Ulu-based community, or the Ulu chapter, we want to talk about building. As we heal, as we fight. I mean, we got to do all three of them. And it's not the work of Ulu alone. There are literally hundreds, well, I should say thousands, of organizations and institutions that are involved in fighting, healing, and building. And Ulu wants to be in community, in a family relationship with most of these entities, and we'll talk about that as well. But before I go into any further detail about our campaign to build local UBCs and what that entails, I want to then go back to the subject of this evening. Liberated minds, building liberated communities for the liberation of our people. Think of those three areas, liberated mind, liberated community, liberated people, almost as a formula, because you don't get to a liberated people unless you first build the liberated communities. And you don't get to build liberated communities unless you first utilize liberated minds. And what I mean by liberated minds, and I'll encourage the family to chime in and help me further explain it, but I'm talking about a mind that's not colonized, a mind that's that has matured to the level that that particular mind or mindset appreciates the fact that we are responsible for building the world that we envision. No one else is going to build that for us. And so the liberated mind that we talk about, of course, is that mind, that clear perception, that clear notion that if it's to be, it's up to me or up to us. And, you know, all of our historians have pointed to the fact that we want to do that. So liberated minds building liberated communities for the liberation of our people. Now, we are blessed. Sometimes we don't acknowledge it, but we are a blessed with thousands, tens of thousands, potentially a few millions of liberated minds. Brothers and sisters who have analyzed history, analyzed current events, have witnessed things, have experienced things, have been involved in things. And many of us, again, hundreds, thousands, potentially millions of us, have gotten to the place where now we hunger and thirst for a winning strategy, a winning plan that would allow us to once again get on the path of building our civilization, of protecting our families, protecting our communities, but essentially in building our world. And respecting the right of other people to build their worlds. So we've got the minds. So the work of Ulu, and part of our discussion this evening is going to be, what do the liberated minds do to build the liberated communities so that progressively we create liberated spaces and scenarios and environments, political space, economic space, cultural space, social space for our people. And we focus on the communities when we talk about the UBC. And I said earlier, we would focus our discussion on the UBC, but we do it in the context of building liberated communities. And of course, we've already admitted that there are potentially millions of us that already possess sovereign consciousness or sovereign intellect. And now that's not to say that some of us are still evolving, you know. So when we get in the room and we get into situations, sometimes it's not all peaches and cream. You know, we still come in conflict with each other because we're still growing. But there's a significant number of our people who are very clear, I mean crystal clear, that if it's to be, we got to build it. That's not to say that we don't take the position that we should be treated differently or the cards should be stacked differently. But at the end of the day, we know that nobody's coming to the rescue. We got to do the heavy lifting. So let's talk then about our campaign and go a little deeper into it. As some of you know and others of you would not know, ULU got its start in a study group in 2011, and a handful of us met face-to-face every week for more than a year. I mean, it wasn't Zoom. We didn't know about Zoom during that time. No. I think some programs out there, but, you know, we didn't really use them. But we met face-to-face. And as I talk about that face-to-face, there's a ULU member in South Florida, Brother Amafika, who says that he's not aware of anything that African people have done, especially in this country, successfully when we were not on a week-to-week cycle. So when we talk about the founding of ULU, where we met around the table, as a matter of fact, I still got the table that we met around. It's at my home. We met around that table from starting in 2011, and then in June of 2013, US Lift and US Economic Development Cooperative was born. And so for most of our existence since 2013, we've functioned as a whole, as a global organization. ULU has members scattered throughout America, UN Canada, Europe, East Africa, Central Africa, West Africa, the Caribbean. I know one member called in to one of our calls from Korea, South Korea. So he said he's never coming back to America. So we've got people scattered out. So we function as a membership of the whole. We gave lip service to the need to build chapters, but we really never seriously bit into that work. Because of some hard lessons learned, we now know that that's the only way to build, and that we were in error those previous years when we functioned as the whole and did not get into the work of building the local chapters or the ULU-based collectives, ULU-based communities. And so because we have been chastened and corrected in so many ways to know that you build communities. You don't build from the top. You know, you don't build a skyscraper from the top. As a matter of fact, we all know that you build from the ground, But you don't build from the ground up. You build from the ground down first. You got to build a foundation. And the taller the building that you intend to build, the deeper the foundation. So you got to dig first and to get up. So anyway, so what we're doing now is a very important strategic move. We are formatting as a prototype what a local chapter of ULU looks like. And we are building face-to-face. We're building in committees or interest groups in between the face-to-face meetings, and we're doing some of it online. But we're bringing brothers and sisters together to do the hard work of creating the routines, the patterns, the exercises, the process of what a local UBC, ULU-based community, would look like, would do, and sustain. And we're doing that in such a way that we are chronicling everything that we're doing so that at a point specific, we'll be able to take that experience and take it to Charlotte, where you are, or take it to New Orleans, or take it to Zanzibar, or wherever we choose to take it, and essentially replicate the local unit. Again, liberated minds, building liberated communities for the liberation of our people. So when we talk about the UBCs, it's based on the formula, liberated minds, communities, and people. It's in the space of dealing with communities. And when we talk about building UBCs, we essentially are talking about looking at our local communities as nations and with borders and with assets and liabilities and with organizations and institutions and people and households and industry and all the things that would be identified in the small geographic area that we call the community, the local community. And it should be small enough that we can wrap our minds around it and actually format the work and be able to have it so that we can test and judge and evaluate our progress. In Atlanta, where we're building the first prototype, we're going to look at the West End or maybe what's called SWAT, Southwest Atlanta, as the geographic area that we're looking at. And we want to, as a local chapter of ULU, a UBC, do the work of mapping, analysis, study of that geographic area to essentially get to know it better. Some of us who live in the area know it fairly well, but others won't. But so that we can determine what things could be improved upon such that it would make the community more viable. What are some of the things that we perhaps could minimize? And then what are some of the things that maybe are not features of the community that we could create anew? So we want to have a feel for all three of those areas. But in particular, and this is the essential ingredient. And it's essentially what's been missing, in my opinion, from our struggle as a people in the Americas and in the modern sense, even looking at African people globally. And that is that part of the economic life and viability of our community that we owned. Not in the sense of what we normally think about when we talk about a black-owned business, but being collectively owned. And so what we refer to that generally, this missing ingredient, and we want to look at it almost scientifically, we call it New Ujamaa. Ujamaa is an East African Kiswahili word that millions of us are familiar with throughout the global African community. And it's been popularized through the Kwanzaa holiday practice. It's the fourth principle of the Nguzo Saba and celebrated on the fourth day of Kwanzaa each year. And it's generally defined as cooperative economics. And so what we are doing, we're changing a little bit and we're saying New Ujamaa. And our definition would not be cooperative economics, but our definition would be family-centered cooperative economics, as opposed to individually-centered economics. I really want to stress this because I'm saying to brothers and sisters who are listening on the phone is that this is the cure for what ails us in terms of being powerless people, of being oppressed people, of being dominated people. The essential corrective is New Ujamaa or family-centered cooperative economics as opposed to individually-centered economics.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go a little further and maybe bring that home. When you go on the Kwanzaa official website, or in some cases it's written other places, Brother Karenga in bringing Kwanzaa to us defines Ujamaa is as building, is to build and maintain our own shops, stores, and other businesses and profit together from them.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go back over that because, to me, that's almost, there's a little bit of contradiction in there, a little bit of mysticism, I mean, how you do that. In other words,
right,
to build and maintain our own shops, stores, and other businesses and profit together from them. There is not in that sentence anything that denotes community ownership of any part of the economy that we could profit
mm-hmm.
together from them. Now,
right.
No, let's be honest though. Except for government, black businesses is the largest employer of black people. So we benefit mm-hmm. in a huge way from the fact that brothers and sisters own their own businesses and enterprises of varying sizes. And so
mm-hmm.
it's something that we don't fight against and we don't seek to eradicate. We seek to add to the mix. So Ulu's definition would be, so we're going to change two words. Instead of
okay.
our own, we're going to insert group owned. So the Ulu definition of Ujamaa or what we say is new Ujamaa, would be to build and maintain group-owned shops, stores, and other businesses and profit together from them. Mm-hmm. So what I want to be clear about this evening is that the interjection, the incorporation, the infusion of group-owned enterprises in the economic landscape of our communities locally in 100 or 1,000, 10,000 communities is what is the cure.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I mean, I assume you and other people are on the call, maybe cooks, you know, and you fix up your favorite dish or whatever it may be, but use it as an essential ingredient that if you don't get it right, the whole thing is wrong, right?
So, exactly. Yeah.
But,
yeah.
But we struggle as African people, and we don't own any part of the economy.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing we're going to get is what we've gotten. There's more oppression,
mm-hmm.
more subjugation. And we're going to be frustrated because we think we're doing everything that we should do. We come together socially, we come together religiously, we come together culturally, and then we promote black businesses, and we still don't seem to get that further ahead. The contradiction,
mm-hmm.
if we as a collective don't have progressively greater and greater control of production and distribution, all the things that we talk about in terms of economy, then it's the difference between real estate and spook estate. I mean, it ain't real. You know, yeah, so, you know, I don't know how to say it other than that. But so when we talk about the UBC, zip this up before I go back. So family, mm-hmm. New Ujamaa as a strategic corrective, a new economic paradigm, a new economic model is what ULU is now coming to the community to share, to help build.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to be clear, we're going to always have individually owned businesses at various sizes. We're also going to have co-op businesses at various sizes, credit unions, consumer co-ops or food co-ops or worker-owner co-ops. We're going to have all of these different models as a part of the mix. What ULU bring to bear is a new model. It's a collective model. You could say in broad terms, it's a cooperative, but it's not owned just by the local community. It's owned by all of us, the membership of ULU around the world. So in Atlanta, as we grow and we envision and we do the work and we bring into creative existence a ULU group-owned enterprise in Atlanta, it will belong to all ULU members globally. It won't just belong to the Atlanta community. And
right.
as we grow, we're looking at a network of economic enterprises that will be owned by the collective. So again, I guess part of the main thing that we want to talk about is be clear of what the local chapter of ULU is to do.
Mm-hmm.
It is to participate in the infusion of this new way of doing economics in our local communities. Now, the businesses themselves, upon examination, may not look any different than any other business in the community to the casual observer. But they will be operated as collectives, and they will be good citizens in the community. They will create jobs. They would provide needed goods and services, and they will be strategically aligned with other businesses and institutions in the community so that there is a synergy, there is a stimulation that occurs. But when profits are created, those belong to the collective. They don't belong to the team that's running the business. They don't belong to, you know, a particular clique. They belong mm-hmm. to Ulu broadly. However, there is a particular class of members and households that will receive a particular benefit, and I won't go into that in this discussion, but essentially to say that we are building African communalism, African social practice, or African socialism as a practice in the community in cooperation with the NAACP, the black colleges, the business, with already existing institutions and organizations in the landscape. All of us that are listening to the call this evening to the radio program, in the coming few days, all of us are going to be asked to participate in a campaign to build Ulu membership for the general purpose of building and strengthening Ulu, but also for the strategic purpose of building local chapters, in particular for strengthening the chapter here in Atlanta and creating the wave that will allow us to expand to other cities. This campaign will be basically in two parts. All of you will receive emails asking you to view our 3-minute video. The title is A Serious Question for You. It's the video that most of us have seen if you've gone to our website. But we're going to get it out in a broad way. And we're asking people to do two things. We're asking people to view the video, and then after you view the video, to click a link on your email. And we've got to find a way to put it on our social media platforms as well. But click a link and request an invitation to participate on an online Q&A session to really go into details explaining the power, the benefits of new Ujamaa. Again, this is a new economic paradigm.
Mm-hmm.
My position, my humble position, if we don't grasp and internalize a way of building a black economy for real, then we're not going to be able to find a way to come out of this. And we're going to be stuck, you know. So the campaign will be a blast to, and using social media to get people to look at the 3-minute video, to also forward it to your list, to your family, your friends, and whoever. And then for those of you who view the three-minute video, to request an invitation to an online Q&A where we really go into great pain to get us all to understand the power of New Ujamaa. I'll say this just as a way of hopefully cementing this notion of the utility and the power of developing a process that allows us to incrementally gain greater and greater control of the economics of our local community. And I use this example, and we've heard it before. And I'm not sure how valid it is. It's said that between one and two trillion dollars a year flows through the fingers of African people in America. When I first began to hear it, it was 1.3 trillion, and it's gone up, and some people say 2 trillion, but it is sometimes couched in buying power. But we know living in the richest nation on planet Earth that there is a flow of potential economic resources that flows through our fingers and goes back to the general stream and economic flow in our communities. So let's look at this. Let's assume, and I'm going to be pressing for us to do so, that in our local communities, we develop a process where we produce a network of group-owned enterprises and link them to other similarly organized and constituted institutions throughout America and eventually throughout the African world. But in each of those situations, let's consider that the small things that we do allows us to tap into the economic flow of that more than $1 trillion that flows through our fingers on a yearly basis. And let's say that because of our strategic activity, we're able to capture and redirect just 1% of the flow that used to go beyond us, through our fingers and beyond. We're not talking about 50%. We're not talking about 75%. We're not talking about 25%. But through a process, through the building of New Ujamaa, and we're going to go into greater details, not only tonight, but the campaign that we're talking about, getting us to understand, but also involve ourselves in building. But if we were able to capture and redirect into a reservoir of capital and other resources that we could use to build our communities, if we were able to be successful at 1% of that flow, 1% of $1 trillion is $10 billion a year. What could we as a conscious community wanting, needing, and building for economic self-determination, for political determination, do with an additional $5 billion a year to utilize? Or let's say we weren't successful at capturing and redirecting 1% of the flow, but just one half of 1% of the flow. That would still be $5 trillion a year. So when we talk about Ujamaa,
$5 billion a year.
Did I say But anyway,
you said trillion. I think you meant billion. Okay.
No, yeah, thank you for that correction. 1% of a trillion would be 10 billion. One half of 1% would be 5 billion. So what we're saying is that ULU is bringing to the community a process, a system, a machine that gives us the capacity, and it's really kind of simple. It's not rocket science. Gives us the capacity to tap into the global economic flow, not just the U.S. flow. When we talked about the trillion, we were talking about just the U.S., but ULU members are throughout. But to tap into the global economic flow and capture and divert a small percentage, but because the global economy is so big, when you tap into it and you just are successful at manipulation for our benefit of just 1% or 0.5% or 0.25%, you're talking about bringing billions, multiple billions of dollars on an annual basis to add to the work that we need to do. But the ULU model says that when you get resources, that the first thing that you secure is your ability to stay active at that activity. You don't, in other words, you don't spend it all in charity. You don't give it away. You invest in productive activities that you calculate can last for hundreds or thousands of years. You invested in the machinery of the African civilization that, or the African reality or present that our children seven generations from now will inherit. You build for the future. You build for now and you build for the future. So, I just used that example. So when we were, I know for my family, when COVID hit, we were blessed to have healers around that got my family through that. My wife had COVID twice. I had it once. But we were able to learn how to address that virus. The main ingredient was zinc. But we knew that zinc couldn't operate. It you just couldn't take a fistload of zinc and knock out the virus. Because there were things in our bodies that prevented the zinc from getting to the virus. So we had to use other things, other products, other chemical compounds that allowed for the absorption of zinc to get to the virus. So I say that to say that what we're involved in is UJAMA, or cooperative economics, and further defined as family-centered cooperative economics, and the UBC as the tool that we're going to get or use to actually infuse UJAMA into the body, into the community. In other words, we've got this idea, this new paradigm that we call new UJAMA, family-centered cooperative economics. And you can treat it as a theory on one level, but how do you get it into the people so that it becomes the cure? The UBC is the ingredient, or we may even say the hypodermic needle that you know, it goes into your arm and then you infuse it into the body. I don't like that example. But new ujjama is integrated into the local community, utilizing the local chapters of Ulu. And we envision in the next 3 to 5 years more than 100 UBCs in local communities in the U.S. and potentially in other places as well. So I want to stress that what we're essentially talking about is the infusion of this practice. But I really want to be clear that the essential ingredient is what we have described as new ujjama, which is essentially group-owned business enterprises that Ulu owns, and that at their a point of maturity and beginning to produce a surplus that goes back into fueling and growing our economy. So we will get to a point where we are not only participating in the broader economy and capturing and redirecting a percentage of that and bringing into our environment, but as we do the things that we must do to build group-owned enterprises, small, medium, and eventually large, that the benefits that are derived from that economic activity is also plowed back into the community. And so what we're looking to build progressively is a greater and greater percentage of the commercial, the economic mix in our local communities being populated, again, greater and greater by group-owned enterprise. Most of them will start small. Shabaka very often talks about low-hanging fruit. So we'll start where we are and where we have the ability to start in these early stages. But you'll see us acquiring manufacturing plants. You'll see us acquiring hotels, acquiring banks, acquiring insurance companies, acquiring logistical transportation companies. You'll see as we grow, and these enterprises would be organized as Ulu group-owned enterprises. In other words, they will provide needed services. They would create jobs for the community. They would provide needed goods and services, be good citizens in the communities where we are, and ultimately would yield a surplus that would be plowed back in the community. So earlier when we talked about the UBC, the Ulu chapter, man, this time is getting away from us. I didn't know it was almost the end of the show.
Not really. You got another hour.
Okay. Don't you do me like that. A lot of times we advertise our Thursday evening calls as an hour program. But, you know, when we need to, we can tap on another hour, but we never do. So we're not going to do it this evening.
Okay.
So the UBCs, the local chapters of Ulu, are being formatted so that not only do they teach and reinforce this new economic paradigm, but they get their hands dirty in terms of actually constructing the businesses that mm-hmm. will be a part of this paradigm. But we're going to be good citizens. We're going to go into the universities. We're going to go into the churches. We're going to do all the things that we should do to share the vision and build relationships and tap into, you know, urban agriculture, alternative energy, you know, trash collection, whatever it needs to be. But our unique contribution is going to be in two ways. Is bringing into the liberated minds this new paradigm, and also helping to incubate new liberated minds, this paradigm that we call New Ujamaa. But the other thing, of course, that we will be doing is also building the Uluong cooperative businesses that will be branded as New Ujamaa Enterprises. In other words, we don't want to let the community not know what they are, and we want to build some appreciation and pride around knowing that that business, it may not be many in the initial stages, but that everybody mm-hmm. in the community knows that that business belongs to all of us,
mm-hmm.
and that that business is accountable to us, and that we have some say-so in terms of how that business operates, and that when it produces a surplus, it belongs to the community based on a formula. It's redistributed in the community. So we're talking mm-hmm. about a process of aggregating our resources. We talked about that when we talked about tapping into the flow. But it's not just money. It's knowledge, skills, labor, all the our prayers, you know, all the things that we mm-hmm. do to build and maintain community. We're talking about all of those. So the first thing we talk about is aggregation. The second thing we talk about is production, is building the network of Ulu of group-owned enterprises. And the third aspect is to share the wealth. So all of us will see in the coming days a diagram that looks like a pyramid or a triangle. And mm-hmm. the left side will be aggregation, pooling of our resources. The mm-hmm. Right side will be production. The base will be sharing or distribution of the surplus.
Mm-hmm.
And the middle is the community. So we are mm-hmm. very excited about the work of crystallizing the narrative and sharing the narrative of New Ujamaa. And being bold enough, and I really want to be, I want the family to hear me. New Ujamaa is the cure for what ails us.
Mm-hmm.
If we do not get good at gaining greater control of the economics of our local community from the standpoint of group economics, then we have no way out. We live here in Atlanta. Tyler Perry, of course, is probably a billionaire. The Tyler Perry Studios is within walking distance from me. But if we had 1,000 Tyler Perrys in Tyler Perry Studios, or 1,000 billionaires, or 2 million millionaires, black millionaires, it really mm-hmm. would not appreciably change the plight of our people. Because it wouldn't bring that activity into a sphere where we controlled it and that we benefited from the harvest. So I'll stop there and apologize for being long-winded. I didn't even ask for I didn't even ask for anybody who may have had a comment or a question.
No, but there were no hands up.
Okay,
so
okay.
You did. Well, you know, we look forward, Baba Hakima, to your fine-tuning the vision. I speak for myself. For you fine-tuning the vision every month. When you come on, I get greater clarity on the goal, the ideas that you're bringing forward. So it may be that we just want to hear what you're showing. We want to see what you're saying, so to speak, rather
see,
than interrupt your flow.
That's
it. So
I definitely want to
mm-hmm.
encourage brothers and sisters not to be liberal, but to be aggressive in making this plain for them. So we're going to give everybody an opportunity to come on a Zoom platform, just Q&A,
mm-hmm.
that after you watch the three-minute video. That video is 3 minutes long, and a lot of times we are not sensitive, we're not adequately prepared for receiving the messages in that three-minute video. That
mm-hmm.
the voice, of course, is Brother West, one of our Ulu members up in Spartanburg, South Carolina. But he
mm-hmm.
says in that video, he says, taking control of the economics of our community is simple. Not easy, but simple with the right plan. I'm suggesting that all of us, for the most part, are endowed with the basic logic that would allow us to gain economic control of our community. We just got to
mm-hmm.
remind each other of it. We've done it
mm-hmm.
at various times. When we talk about the more than 100 business communities of business excellence, when we refer to Black Wall Street, we've done it.
Mm-hmm.
In other cases,
mm-hmm.
we've done it. Of course, we have not been left alone to do it. We've been, in many cases, vamped upon in big ways. But even in light of that, there is a knowing desire to build, and to build
right.
In spite of the intrusion, the attacks, and everything else. So thank you,
Baba Hakima. We have one hand up, so let's do this right quick before we say goodnight.
Okay.
Well, just one hand.
Good enough.
If my computer. Okay, caller with the last four digits, 8912. Please state your name, where you're calling from, and make your comment or ask your question.
Yes, this is Brother Thurman, a Ulu member, and I'm calling from Richmond. And I just want to make sure that Baba Hakima hears not only Sister Q giving praise for the clarity that you bring in, but I know the rest of the listening audience, and I can see quite a few of them out there by telephone and by internet radio. You are bringing further clarity, and you continue to do the powerful work that you've been doing for the people for a long, long time. And much praise to you, Baba Hakima, always and forever. And as the song that Dr. Ray Higgins put out some years ago, it says, the African in me loves the African in you. And when we come together, there ain't nothing we can't do, because you're easy. Yes, you're easy. Easy to love, Baba Hakima. Ashe.
Ashe, ashe.
Thank you, Brother Sherman.
Thank you, Brother.
Okay.
The precious brother. Yeah. All right,
mm-hmm.
sis. I'll let you get some rest. All right. Take care.
Okay. So thank you, Baba Hakima. And thank you to everyone that joined us this evening. Join us again next Thursday evening at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time for another installment of Dare to Win. Peace.
out of the drum we go. As a people, out of the drum we come. Hey, out of the drum we come. Oh. As a people, out of the drum we come. No. Oh. Out of the drum. The dance of the elder. Everybody, everybody dance. Respect yourself. The dance of the elder. Everybody, everybody dance. Respect yourself. Out of the drum, we come. As a people here, as a people, the dance, buddy elder. Everybody, everybody dance. Respect yourself. The dance of the elder. Everybody, everybody dance. Respect yourself. Everybody dance. Respect your elders here. Everybody dance. Respect your elders here. Everybody dance. Respect yourself. Everybody, everybody dance.